government, and you're acting in a legislative, quasi-legislative, which I think we're doing here in this court.
Have judicial.
Yeah, and have immunity as I sit here.
Chief, self-serving
you may not,
statement.
But I'm going to judge that I have immunity doing quasi-legislative here. Quasi-judicial, you have immunity. My problem, and I don't know if you're governmental, you can tell me that, but my problem is if indeed you are, it seems like this proposal is asking more than the law currently provides, because under that statute in our case law, there are exceptions to immunity. That is, if you are, the primary exception would be if you are acting in a ministerial duty, and if your duty, then our law says, is so clear and certain as to time, mode, etc. There is no immunity if you violate a ministerial duty. Another exception is one that we refer to as the kind of willful and wanton misconduct. Another exception that doesn't apply here is the known danger exception. So it seems to me that what you might be asking for, and I haven't done the research on this, but is much broader than you would get, as Justice Butler indicates, from the legislature under 893 in our current case law. That's a question. How do you respond is my question.
Could you repeat the question, please?
Can't. It causes me concern that it seems like, I don't know, but arguably you're asking for broader immunity than exists under 893 area case law. Can you, if that's true, can you justify such a broad immunity?
Well, I think, as you know, we're set up under Supreme Court rule.
That's right.
An arm of the Supreme Court administered by the bar. And
well, you're a very peculiar animal. We set up the rules, but the court has not had any dealings at all with you, because as you say, you're an arm of the bar, and the court, so you're twice removed from the court with the bar.
You're a relative, but you're twice removed.
Right.
We like to think that we're more associated with the Supreme Court than the State Bar, just in as much as we drive our authority from them, but the Bar is who administers us. And we have a great working relationship with the Bar, too.
You would like a closer working relationship with the court to get any benefits thereof. I think, as I think back about it, it was the Bar issue about immunity.
Yeah. There's a question, I think, as to whether the bar is really your relationship with us. Does your relationship, the bar's relationship with us, allow you to come under the 893? Are you kind of a governmental subdivision, or are you your own player? And I don't know the answer to that. That's why I asked. You have to show you some governmental.
Mm-hmm. You got a little problem with immunity, Mr. Reddy. We can move on.
It sounds like it. I will. The next section, and again, this is a new rule being proposed that is one of the ABA model rules for lawyer protection funds, is entitled reimbursement from the fund. And the new rule is patterned after some of the language in the comments that I think is appropriate to read into the record, and that is, dishonest conduct by a member of the bar imposes no separate legal obligations on the profession collectively or on the fund to compensate for a lawyer's misconduct. The fund is a lawyer-financed public service, and payment by the board is discretionary. Just for the court's sake, we do have a rule of procedure internally that we allow for reconsideration, so that if either the claimant or the attorney is asking for us to reconsider a claim that we have denied or paid, and they present us additional information, we will do so. The final proposal.
And before we move on to the final proposal, number 1213, as I understand the proposal on page 6, decisions of the fund are not appealable. That's what you're requesting.
Mm-hmm.
What if the fund makes a mistake?
We We've never made one, so I wouldn't know.
Review.
Can I go sit down now? That same ABA survey that I was talking about, where 48 entities responded to it, I can tell you that only 6 have any sort of rule in place where they allow a review to a court. 2 of those entities are California and New York, which are huge funds. They employ full-time attorneys to do what we do with the attorneys on a part-time basis.
It's been a long time since I've checked this, but there are various, quote, administrative agencies which provide by statute that the decision is not reviewable. Case law says that these decisions are generally not reviewable, but that they are reviewable to make sure that it's been honest, to be sure that there's not been fraud or really obvious violations of the law. I mean, there is a pattern for review. So you cannot, I don't think, at least under a lot of administrative law, case law, protect yourself totally from review, although I think that ordinarily the statutory language reads something like this. I'm just calling that to your attention.
I think the important thing to realize is that we do have a lot of discretion. We have a lot of discretion to exercise. And that's, again, because everything from what we do is discretionary in as much as we're a lawyer-financed public service. And in that regard, whether there's a need for an appeal is, in my estimation, not necessary.
All right. Any other questions on appeal? All right. Let's go back to let's go to the proposed changes to 2116, which relate to discipline, and you're adding restitution, and then, if I got it right, and then you're adding, when the court orders restitution, the amount shall be determined in the related proceeding, and that if you have made a payment on the claim, that you want this court to allow a judgment to be entered in favor of the fund, and docket it, and has the same force and effect as any other judgment. Isn't that it? I gather you've taken some of this language from the criminal judgment for restitution statutes.
No, Your Honor, it was patterned after the New York rule.
Okay.
But I have to give you a little bit of history first.
Okay.
Because
no problem.
I think you also have with you the trust account working group proposal dealing with the same issue. And what happened was, when we approached OLR Director Celine about making a change to this disciplinary rule, we both had input in a rule that we thought was acceptable. Well, unbeknownst to both of us, we each approached the Board of Governors for approval, and our proposal was modified greatly. The OLR, the Trust Account Working Committee proposal was not modified. I just found this out last week in discussions with Mr. Celine that really the same substantive proposal is being made today by us and also by that Trust Account Working Group January 17th.
Mm-hmm. Now, and the language is not quite the same, I gather.
And the reason the language isn't the same is because the Board of Governors did some major modifications on our proposal, but not on the one that was originally.
What do you suggest we do about the difference in the language?
We've agreed to jointly recommend to you that you adopt the one that's being proposed by the Trust Account Working Group.
So you wanted this omitted at the moment from your petition?
Either that or consider the language. Probably you have to wait until the 17th.
Okay.
I'm not sure how you work, but I would like to give the reasons, because this proposal was generated from our fund.
Just for clarification, when you're talking about omitting the language, then what language specifically are you talking about omitting from this petition in favor of the language of the other petition. What language from this petition are you talking about?
Maybe omitted was the wrong word. It was the renumbering occurred by the Board of Governors, and they reworked some of the language. There's an issue in here dealing with issue preclusion, and yes, Your Honor.
21.16 is what we're talking about. And it is the language you want, not the court, not to deal with today is subsection 2?
No, the whole 2116 amendment.
The whole thing.
The whole thing.
Okay, got it. The only thing you did on one is add restitution.
That's correct.
Okay, but you don't want us to deal with that today. Take it up in January with Celine's petition, and you'll be back.
Yes, Your Honor.
We look forward to that.
just one question. Do you know if, let's refer to a Celine's petition, has C, that is, your proposed 2116-2C, which states, the amount of restitution either ordered or paid does not affect the attorney's liability for damages in any civil action or proceeding.
It does, and in fact, that's language in the what we propose that I think is better in Celine's than ours.
Okay, I haven't looked. My question was whether this language is going to be the same in Celine's, because this language causes me concern.
Yes.
It seems like it butts up against the collateral source rule. And so to the extent that it's the same or very similar, I would ask those in the Celine's petition to take a look at what would be comparable to sub C, and if it does butt up against the collateral source rule, be prepared to address it.
And I can tell you which one that is. Under the Celine rule, it's 2116 sub 5M sub B.
That's the one that we just had circulated, is that
yes,
correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
Appendix C.
I don't know.
On the right-hand corner of the document.
We'll handle that then, but again, with Celine, you have to watch out because he ought to be credited for any amounts he's paid back to the fund.
That's my point.
Oh, well, the collateral source is the whole thing.
No, but that's, you know, right. You don't want double recovery.
Right, exactly.
And so that's what I mean by collateral source. It says it won't affect it, and it seems to me like arguably it should.
Should. Mm-hmm. I agree. The other thing is, and again, it's a kind of a heads up, there's a time problem in when the court orders restitution. Sometimes the referee orders restitution before the court sees it. Other times it's sent back for restitution. Other times the court orders restitution and there may or may not be a fixed number, et cetera. And that kind of, those kinds of problems in these orders for restitution have to be taken care of, even if we accept that the court ought to provide for a judgment. Right. So that's off the table today. Okay. So we're only left with confidentiality, immunity, and the appeal reimbursement.
Yes, Your Honor.
Are there any other questions of Mr. Reddy?
Thank you for your efforts and work with the Wisconsin Lawyers Fund for Client Protection Committee,
and the court does get your annual reports and is well aware of your work through its disciplinary proceedings. So thank you. Are there any other appearances on the Lawyers Fund for Client Protection Committee? Pardon me? Oh, Keith, I'm sorry. Do you want to appear?
Your Honor, I don't need to if that provision is off the agenda for today. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Any other appearances? And none. I'll call the matter of 0603 to hearing as closed. That leads us to the last of the hearing matters, which is an amendment
to Rule 60.072 relating to financial disclosure of court commissioners as Julie Rich's, Commissioner Rich's memo to the court dated December 4th states reaching the end of the year and sending out notices to all of the appropriate court personnel about the need to file financial disclosure statements with, is it the Ethics Board? The Ethics Board. We found that a rule that everybody thinks is there and was in the past there requiring some court commissioners to file financial disclosure magically and unintentionally disappeared from the book. And so before we send out all of these notices to all of these legalistic types of quasi-judicial people telling them to file and telling them under what provision to file, we decided we better put back the provision. And so you have before you a putting back the same applicability statute or applicability provision that this court hammered out when it amended the code for judicial conduct. Julie suggested, and I agreed, that this should be on the court's own motion, and that we would advise everybody of this by appropriate publication after we do it, but that in light of the fact that this is technical and corrects an inadvertent error, which we've all been living with, including all these commissioners, that the court adopt this change. Does anyone here care to comment on that other than me? Okay, hearing none, the court will take that up on its open administrative conference. In fact, we'll start with that. All right. There is no other matter coming before the court today, an open administrative rule hearing. The only matter coming before the court today is to decide the four rules matters that we've discussed and to complete, I hope, Ethics 2000. So this public hearing is adjourned. The court will reappear magically in a few moments to decide these issues. We are adjourned. Okay.